16th.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 5 minutes in. It's hour three, and the day has just whistled by. It's been kind of a it's kind of a silly morning, as happens around these parts. We're going to bring in Dave Hill, and it is week three of the NFL season, which is flying by, and keeping Dave on his toes, undoubtedly. And tonight's game kicks things off, and Dave, another weekend with wild finishes, with lines that are just remarkable. How savvy and how accurate on a going basis the action is. It's amazing, and you took the short end of it a couple of times this week, but. That's the nature of the beast.
Well, I finished 9-7. You know, it was both weeks now. I went 9-7 in the New York Times, so that's pretty good for flipping quarters, I think. There were a lot of long shots this past weekend, and that's great for us. We like to beat the chalk.
Well, you know, it's funny too. When you say flipping the coin, I saw you had a very funny response to a guy, who said something about a 50-50 proposition. To which you said, "How do you know I'm not flipping a coin for these picks?"
Exactly. I mean, the whole concept of the point spread, right, is that it should make the contest even, and in the NFL, more so than any other sport, that's true. Because the NFL is such a giant market, the point spreads, they move around a little bit, you know, before the game time. But when that game kicks off, that spread is typically pretty efficient in making these games. You know, if you just pick these games randomly all season long, and you did that every year of your life, you will regress towards a mean of 50%. That's always been true. So you're going to be maybe a little over, a little bit under, but the point spread makes this a coin flipping contest, and we can all talk and jab about, this quarterback's better than this one, but But, you know, the money don't lie, and the money's what makes these point spreads so right. Having said that, point spreads were pretty wrong last weekend. You know, there was only one game that finished within 1 point of the spread. That's not typical. And I think because of that, there was, you know, because of that volatility and those blowouts and those comebacks, it was a good opportunity for people that like to play a little bit, you know, to play the dogs. They did well. The dogs went, you know, 10-4 against the spread.
Talk a little bit, too, about the tracking method that we've been, you know, that you floated and you explained, you know, one of the things that you're watching, you know, very carefully. And in terms of the indices, in terms of line movement, how helpful has it been 2 weeks in?
Well, I think the key way to bet on sports and the way to bet the NFL this season is that you want to just shop for the best price. Because I do think that this is a little bit like, you know, either side of a game, if the point spread is right, can win, then what you're looking for is the best price. Now, that price sometimes means, you know, because, you know, sports books tend to, you know, they will offer a bet at -110, you know, typically meaning they're taking it 10% big. But sometimes they'll, you know, they'll shade one side or the other, or they'll juice it a little bit so that you can, you know, get the side you want at +100 at even money. And if you can find a couple of lines, you know, two sides of the same game where the line at two different books kind of equal out to as close to zero as possible, you can really pick either one of those sides, and over the long run, you'll make money because you are betting into a no big line when you do that. So I tend to watch all of the sports books on an odd screen and shop for the best price I can get on the side that I want. You can also shop for a good line. I mean, especially if you're early and there hasn't been a consensus across the market on a particular point spread, you know, I'm making my picks on Monday and Tuesday where there's going to be a little bit of differentiation, you know, throughout the market on the lines where I might find a half point or even a point to the side that I like. And if the price is right, I'll take that. You know, a lot of the picks I made in the paper, you know, even today, speaking to you today on Thursday, those lines are gone now because people who also like that side gobble it up. The sports books move the number. So betting early, shopping around, trying to find the best price you can. That's really the only edge we're going to have as gamblers in the NFL. We're not going to be able to out-handicap the market typically. It's just sort of line shopping. And I do some handicapping. I've got, you know, I use power ratings that I get from the Massey Peabody rankings from Unabated that I use to kind of look and see what the point spread should be. And so a lot of my picks are based on that. But you really don't even, you know, I wouldn't even put a ton of stock into that. Like I said, I think that often you can just go with your hunch as long as you're getting the best number. And if you get the best number, if your number is better than where it closed at kickoff, over the long run, you're going to be profitable, winning better. If you can get what they call closing line value, get it? It's no different than buying something on sale, you know, like that's what you're looking to do.
So CLV, as it were, closing line value.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and
honestly,
closing line value is everything.
Well, and how different is that really? Let's also parallel it to horseplay because there's the obvious parallel.
Yeah, the thing that drives people crazy sometimes when they come over from sports betting into horse racing is that they hate the fact that when they bet the horse, that then the odds move, that they have to take the number at when the race goes off rather than the number when they made the bet. Because sports bettors are so used to being excited that they got a good price and locking in that price. But with parimutuel gambling, you don't lock in the price. Your money moves the market for not only everybody after you, but for you and everybody before you as well. And that's always driven sports gamblers kind of nuts. But, you know, there's two sides to the coin. I mean, the other thing that's good about parimutuel gambling betting is that it offers opportunities to find value where the public's wrong. That's not so much the case in sports betting.
Let me also, because you know you're now four games over 500, 2 weeks in with the total, you know, with the, you know, the complete analysis and, you know, each of the leans in each week's, you know, 16 games, so 18-14 overall. The games that we have focused on and that we've brought up, 3-1 week one, 2-3 week two, which begs the question, David, you know, how should, how do you view a successful season-long approach to multiple, you know, multiple selection and you know, playing, you know, not necessarily, you know, putting together teasers and type opportunities, but, you know, just in terms of, you know, picking what feels like likeliest, you know, successful scenarios. I mean, how many games a week? Yeah, I'm sure there's people that you know, play entire cards and are looking at the end of the season to, you know, to be a handful of games above 500 and, you know, thereby, you know, probably also, you know, multiple unit, one unit game, two unit games, three unit games. I mean, what's your suggested approach for casual players?
Well, the way that I play, and I'm also a casual player, I'm not a professional, you know, I don't make a living doing this, although I imagine if somebody wanted, those people who are professional sports gamblers just do the same thing on a much larger scale and work it like a job, really. But the way that I approach betting on NFL is that I will do whatever handicapping I'm going to do to figure out what sides I like in a game, but then I'm going to look at the odds screen to look at all the, you know, all the sports books that I have access to on one screen and try to find as close to zero or even negative sportsbook hold, meaning I want to zero out the VIG. If we can take out, you know, that's what we're really all playing against. It's just like the racetrack takeout, right? If there was no takeout, we'd all have a better shot winning. We want to try to beat the VIG. So the way that we beat the VIG is we try to find, we find what's called sort of a synthetic hold. We try to find two opposite lines where if those two lines were at the same sportsbook, there would be no VIG. There would be no hold, right? So you would look for maybe a plus 100 and a plus 100 on both sides. You know, maybe one sportsbook has the number you like at plus 100, another sportsbook has the number the side you don't want at plus 100. Now you've got a zero hold line, and if I can find that, I'll just bet into that. So often in the NFL, it's hard to find that. Like when I look at the full card, even at the beginning of the week on Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to see mostly 2%, you know, 1.5-2% holds across the board. But anything that I can find that's close to zero and every once in a while a negative hold, then I'm going to fire at that early in the week. I also take advantage of any kind of, like, bonuses or promotions. One of the good things about having a lot of new regulated sports books in New York and New Jersey is that there's a lot of opportunities to bet into promotions and bonuses where they're, you know, jacking up the odds or giving you an advantage but limiting how much you can bet. For the past 2 weeks, DraftKings has offered a promotion where they pay out your bet if your team gets ahead by 10 at any point, even if your team doesn't end up winning, as long as you bet the money line. And you can't bet more than $200 on that. And I've just been firing at will in those because, especially if you like the dog side, you know, there's so much value in that bet. Well, they've lost $75 million on that bet, so they got rid of it. They're not going to offer that promotion anymore. But that kind of stuff, where it exists, is another way to take advantage of, you know, small edges to try to make money. You know, and the other way to bet is just to bet on the team that you like and root for and just try to get the, you know, the best number, best price you have and not worry too much about it and just have a good time and have fun, which is what I recommend most people do.
And at the same time, one of the reasons that I really was excited to do this with you this season was, you know, because of your, you know, deep understanding, and this is probably a good time to also give gamblers a push, tell everybody about the show.
Well, I host a podcast on Spotify and the Ringer Podcast Network called Gamblers. It's a documentary series about professional gamblers in all sorts of walks of life, in all sorts of different gambling games, and we're in our second season right now. The second season just started, and the second episode just dropped on Wednesday. And it's actually about a professional sports bettor who bets on football named Rufus Peabody, who I talked about on your show a couple weeks ago. And it's a two-part episode about him, and a lot of what I'm talking about you can hear in that episode when you hear him sort of talk about his approach to being a pro. This guy makes millions of dollars, but he's also like Bugs Bunny smart, and he puts a lot of effort and energy and work into it, so it ends up kind of being like a job, you know?
Well, and the excitement that I had for bringing Dave to everybody on a regular basis, and you know, David, so well known to our audience over the last 5-6 years at least, as we awaited the release of the vapors, and now we're building up to the the theatrical version of the vapors. The fact that David was doing this, I knew would be so instructive for players that are new to sports gambling. I mean, most of us, Dave. I mean, I placed bets through friends in Vegas and also through the book, but not, you know, not in a serious manner. And so the proliferation of sports gambling and those of us that, you know, for years used to think, oh, if I lived in Vegas, I'd kill it. And you know, now have the opportunity to actually try to, you know, make that happen or prove it. And it's much more difficult than I think a lot of us would ever have imagined. And so, you know, using your approach and you know, the fact that you've got such an understanding of this world from all the different angles that, you know, that you've approached it over the years, you're the perfect guide for fledgling sports bettors, and you know, plus the ties we can make, you know, to horseplay. So it just felt like a unique opportunity, and you know, you're basically teaching everybody on a weekly basis.
Well, I think I appreciate that, and I think it's important for people to understand that, like, there are a lot of people that make six and seven figures a year as professional sports bettors. They exist. I shouldn't have said a lot. There are a handful of people that make that kind of money as pro sports bettors. Those people have gigantic operations. They have outs that they can bet into all over the world, both legal and unregulated alike. You know, they have, you know, teams of people that work for them. That's what it requires to make that kind of living. You know, if you want to make, you know, whatever, a few thousand dollars a year, especially if you take advantage of promotions and bonuses and things like that that regulated sports books are offering to customers, for those types of customers that bet 20, 50, 100 bucks a game, then you can make money. There's a lot of positive expected value opportunities if you play at that level and you just want to have fun and make a few grand, then you can do that in sports. If you want to make a living at it, then you're going to have to really investigate how to turn it into a real operation, because I don't think that people sitting on their couch on Sunday, you know, picking games because they watch a lot of football are going to be able to turn that into, you know, are going to be able to quit their jobs and turn pro all on their own. It requires a lot more than that.
Well, and on that topic, actually, we talked opening week about the tools that you're using and you know, what they represent. What's the mistake that you sense and you find in conversation, the neophyte player or the fledgling player makes that gets them? Yeah, that finds them on the wrong side of wagers.
I think the mistake that most of us make, and I would put myself in the same category, is that we approach sports betting qualitatively, that we think about the narrative of the game, and that we don't approach it quantitatively, thinking about it as a marketplace with prices and numbers. It's more like playing the stock market than anything. And I think the biggest mistake sports bettors make is they come to it as sports fans, and they believe that their sense of sports and the teams and who should win, et cetera, should make them winning sports bettors. But they won't win because what they're playing into is a sportsbook hold and a efficient market that makes it, you know, nearly impossible over the long run for them to beat it. I think that's the biggest mistake that people make, is they think too much about the sport and not enough about the numbers and thinking about it quantitatively.
Interesting. And how, I mean, actually expand on that, because how does that manifest itself in mistaken decisions?
Well, I think that, people thinking that, I mean, like, look, if the team that you like or whatever, you know, shouldn't matter. The team that you think is going to win the game shouldn't matter. It really comes down to, is the number right or not? And if the number is right, then you should be able to, if the numbers, and by right, what I mean is if the number is exactly what the spread should be between those two teams, then it doesn't matter. You know, then, like I said before, it wouldn't matter what side you bet. It's going to be a coin flip. And the odds of winning a coin flip are 50%. So if you have to pay a 10% hold, you're going to lose. You're going to be a losing player, right? The trick is to figure out where the number is not right, where the point spread has been, where there's something wrong with the point spread. And that's hard to find, especially when there's people all over the world who are looking for it, who are betting large amounts of money, and they're manipulating the markets and moving the markets in their direction, right? A lot of the pros that I know, you know, they use their money as leverage to get the number to where they wanted it and to bet it. And a lot of times people, there's a lot of pros that bet both sides of a game, right?
They'll bet
one side, the line will move, then they buy it back at the other side. This is no different than the way people play the stock market, right? Where they'll, you know, buy a stock at one price and sell it at another. People are doing this all week long in the NFL. Before the game goes off, there's a lot of money that's already moved. Betting one side, buying back at the other side. Sometimes they lock in a profit. Sometimes they're minimizing their risk. I mean, this is the way that professionals play the game. And so we're betting into this market thinking, well, I like the Packers, so I'm just going to take the Packers at whatever number's available to me, without realizing that that number is a function of, it is a product of all these kind of market machinations that have gone on. And so, you know, I think that the key is to kind of have a good sense of, like, if I like a side, what's the best possible price I can get? And even then, I'm still probably betting into a hold that I can't beat, but I'll lose my money slower if the hold is small enough, right? That's how I think about it. Like, I don't mind betting, taking the worst of it. If it's a slight, if I'm taking slightly the worst of it, my money slower over time, or maybe even, you know, get a little bit lucky and variance gives me a good weekend, and I might be able to have a little, you know, fun. So that's, I think, the way that recreational players should look at it is, just be smart consumers, you know, try to shop for the best price you can get, but don't worry too much, or don't pat yourself on the back too much that you nailed it when, like, you you know, it's a short season, there's a lot of variance. I think that, like, with the NFL especially, tracking your results over a long period of time is probably a lot better, a lot more useful than how are you doing this season. You know, it's a short season compared to other sports. There's a lot of randomness that happens in the NFL that impacts games. And we don't get a lot of statistical data within one season or even one week to really know how much of what's happened is variance and how much of it is really our skill at being really good football handicappers.
Well, and on that topic, and as we talk about what we've learned these first 2 weeks, I'll make one reference to, you know, playing the middle. The game that gets the most attention for that concept is the Super Bowl, of course, because there's, you know, typically the 2 week time frame, and, you know, invariably there's people that absolutely have managed to get that sweet spot, they can win both sides of their equation.
Well, this past year in the Super Bowl, we had what the sort of classic middle, where the Rams won the Super Bowl, but they didn't cover the spread. And so people who, you know, a lot of the sports bettors that I was hanging out with during the Super Bowl when I was making the episode that's out right now on Spotify, that's what they told me when I asked them, because the guys I was with, they weren't even betting the Super Bowl side or total. They were betting props. That's all they were betting was props. There were thousands and thousands of props, and they bet millions of dollars in these props. But I asked him, well, what should I, if I wanted to just bet the game, what should I bet? And Rufus said, I think this is a great game for classic middle. You should bet the Rams money line and take the points with the Bengals. And that hit. If you had bet that, you'd have cashed both tickets. You know, you'd have hit the middle.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess he was right about that. He felt like the Rams were good, but they weren't going to be, you know, that there's a good chance they weren't 4.5 points good. So, yeah, there are middling opportunities. There's also opportunities where you can bet a line early in a week, and then the action moves the line so far that then you can go take the other side, and then if the number falls in between the two sides you have, you cash both bets. There are some gamblers that they make their entire living that way. They look for middles all over the world, in every potential sport, in every type of derivative market, and they find enough of these middles that they can, you know, put together a pretty nice, comfortable living for themselves. But it's hard because when you bet a lot of middles, you sportsbooks figure out what you're doing. They start to try to limit you or ban you. You got to bet a lot of weird sports. in order, you know, you're not going to find lots of middles in the NFL or in the major sports. You're going to have to look at WNBA and, you know, and like, you know, European soccer and stuff like that to find enough of those throughout the year to make a living. But when you can find them, it's fun to play them and sweat out the middle.
What have we learned, Dave, these first 2 weeks that is bankable?
I don't know. I mean, we learned that the Buffalo Bills are a good team. You know, they've had two great games. I mean, I think we've seen that the teams that people thought were in the top tier are still definitely in the top tier, except for maybe the Bengals, who I think have dropped out of the top 10 now after 2 weeks. You know, the Bengals just can't figure out how to play against cover two. You know, Joe Burrow can't figure out how to get his deep throws that he relies on. I think that there's still a lot of injuries. There's a lot of uncertainty about certain teams that are dealing with injuries, that are dealing with lineup changes, that they're still sort of finding their sea legs. I'll tell you one lesson that I think we've learned in the first 2 weeks of the season, and that's that the teams in the NFL that played their starters in the preseason are doing better than people expected this year, and the teams that sat all their starters are doing worse. And so there's really an argument to be made here in the NFL for maybe you should try to use your starters a little more in preseason, because folks are coming out at the beginning of the season very rusty, and that's hurting them in these crucial first few weeks. I mean, teams that start 0-3 in the regular season do not go to the playoffs. I think it's like 3%, historically, 3% chance of making the playoffs if you start 0-3. So these first three games matter a lot, and so I think we've seen that the teams that put their starters in preseason, they came out firing on all cylinders these first 2 weeks, which is why we see a lot of dogs covering too, because it's typically the lower tier teams that were doing that, and it really helped them a lot.
With that said, and that understood, let's look at week three. Starts tonight with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Don't know if you're interested in this. There certainly is evidence historically in this league, though, that after a team gets beat like Cleveland did, everybody runs in the opposite direction and they right the ship. The following week, they have to shake off that loss to the Jets right quick, though.
That's true, and they may do it here. I think that they should win this game at home. I made it 4.2. I made them 4.2 points favorite, and I was laying 4.5. I think it's now 4 now. So at 4, I like them even more. So I'd take the Browns and lay 4 points here. I think that they should avenge that insane loss to the Jets. I mean, it was an embarrassing enough game for them that, yeah, you'd think that they'd come out smarting and they'd be, eager to right the ship here. But, Pittsburgh has every bit of it, all the same incentives to, like, win this game as well. And I think that they'll play them hard. But I do like to lay the points here with Cleveland. So it's a close decision. I don't think this is one that I'm, feeling really strong about. But if I picked Cleveland in the paper.
Well, I don't mean to direct you into any, into any one spot. You can, it just so happens that, we're doing these on Thursdays because that's when the week starts.
Right, tonight, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's out there for those that are of interest. And, I ask you every week this question too, David. No real interest in the point totals, right?
Yeah, I haven't been picking the totals, so I haven't been paying attention to them. But the totals, there's a lot of opportunity in totals. Maybe more opportunity if you bet totals than sides to find what I was talking about before about trying to minimize the VIG, finding the lowest holds you can find, because they get offered at so many different prices and at so many different numbers across the market. There's just a lot more movement there. So I haven't been watching the totals this season, but I would encourage people who want to look for good betting opportunities to pay attention to the total numbers on odds screen.
Well, Sunday things.
The big game is Miami and Buffalo. I mean, that's the game that I think everybody's excited to see. Miami had an incredible comeback against Baltimore and beat Baltimore and put up like video game type stat lines in that game. And so I think that in Buffalo also had, you know, a huge game against Tennessee. So this is really a clash between two top-tier teams. Buffalo's the favorite. They're six-point favorites. I think that's a strange – I think that at Miami at home, I will take the 6 points because I think that Miami is a better-than-average team. I don't think they're as good as Buffalo. But, you know, an entire touchdown, you know, if you take the home field advantage here out, which is whatever, 1 to 2 points, we're saying that then I guess the market is saying that Buffalo is a full touchdown better than Miami. I just don't think Miami's that bad. I think that they're good enough to stay within a touchdown of Buffalo, or should be anyway, especially at home. So I'm going to take the points here. I do think Buffalo's a better team, but being the best team doesn't mean that you always win. Like I said, there's a lot of variance, a lot of randomness. Things can go awry, as we saw last week. So Miami, I think, will be in this game all the way to the end. If Buffalo makes any mistakes, if they fumble a ball, if he throws a pick or whatever, it changes the dynamic completely. And so for a team as good as Miami, for the market to say you are a touchdown worse than the Bills, I think that's just too much right now. And so I'm going to take the points there.
Interesting. And, you know, you said something just now about the home field advantage. For years and years, the number, the quote-unquote, you know, the starting point for home field had been 3 points. That had always been when you saw a line that was minus three or, you know, thereabouts, it 2.5 in either direction, that it basically was telling you that Vegas was seeing it as a push.
That's right. And that's not true anymore. For a long time, bookies all just would you know, handicap the game and then give the home team 3 points. We know enough now. We have enough data and enough analysis of that data now to know that that's not right. There is still home field advantage. It's gotten, you know, it's probably between 1 and 2 points, somewhere within 1 and 2 points. And it gets lower every year. And the other thing that's interesting is that certain stadiums, home field advantage is slightly more valuable than others, maybe 0.3 points. You know what I mean? Maybe a little bit less than a half a point. But places like Denver, for weather reasons, or Seattle for noise reasons, you know, there's certain stadiums where home field matters a little bit more. And so when I do my handicapping, I try to give a slight, you know, 0.2, 0.3 of a point edge towards those stadiums that have sort of more have shown more of a home field advantage than others over the years, over recent years. Because this all changes too. New stadiums get built, you know, fan bases, you know, they ebb and flow in terms of their enthusiasm for their teams. So these things are not static. So it's hard to put too much weight into them because they're not static. And you never know on any given Sunday whether the fans are going to show up or what the weather is going to be like that day. But, yeah.
Sunday. There it is. There's the
but I, ultimate. I like home underdogs this week. I mean, that's another sort of old betting, old NFL maxim is that, you know, is to take home underdogs. And I think there's a couple of home underdogs this week that look pretty good. I just gave you Miami. Another one that I feel really great about is the Cardinals against the Rams. You know, the Cardinals, let me see what they're getting now, but I think I had them at 4, getting 4. That number's probably been bent down, or 4.5.
It's dropping. That's dropped considerably.
It's 3.5. It's 3.5 now. So there's obviously action coming in on the Cardinals side. I think 3.5 is still enough. I'd still take 3.5. I'd still take 3.5 points in this game. But I liked them a lot at 4.5 and 4. I think that the Cardinals at home, especially, you know, they covered the spread last week and then they won outright in overtime. I was so excited about that game because I knew I was going to cover. I had sort of locked up the cover. But, you know, the fact they came back and won, I mean, you know, they needed that. They needed a game like that and to remember what they have there under center and what he can do. So, at home with their home field fans, I just think that they should be able to cover that spread. Do I think they're going to win? I don't think so. I think they might, you know, they might lose. But if they lose, they're going to lose a close game, I think. That's why I feel like as long as we're above that 3, take the points. You know, if we get down to 3 and below, I feel a little bit less excited about Arizona. But, yeah, I think right now Arizona's still a good play.
I want to ask about, I've got the 5 teams that are 0-2, and you made a reference to the 0-3 and playoffs. We'll get to that in a second. I do want to ask about some mojo and momentum scenarios that Vegas has always been adept at you know, suckering people in. And, you know, a team like the Giants that, you know, that have started surprisingly well in terms of the 2-0 start. And, you know, here they are at home for Dallas. And it feels like, you know, Vegas is inviting everybody to take Dallas in the 1.5, you know, given their, you know, their successful first week without Zach, without Dak Prescott. And so that game sort of intrigues me a little bit. Then there's the situation with Cincinnati. And, you know, here they are. They're coming into New York against the Jets, and the Jets are going to get 5.5. You know, there's some, you know, injured animal scenarios to consider this week.
There is, and it's funny because everybody loves Dallas now. Last week, I was saying take the Cowboys on the money line. Everybody thought I was nuts. You know, like people were already, you know, reading the last rites over the Cowboys last week. Oh my God, will they even win a single game? Now everybody loves them. Everybody thinks that Dallas is the play. I don't. I think that the play is the Giants. You know, I think it's very close. I've got it 2.3, and you know the line is, what is it now? It was 2. On Tuesday, is it at 1 already? You said it was 1?
I'm seeing 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Giants can cover. They're giving Dallas 1.5 right now?
Yep.
Yeah, I think the Giants cover that at home. Yeah. I was high on Dallas's prospects last week, but Dallas were getting a lot more points. You know, I mean, they're getting a lot more points, so it was a completely different scenario. I think that here against the sort of surging Giants team who are playing really well, Saquon is he's such an important rushing threat. The Giants have one hole, and that's that they got to figure out who their best wide receiver is going to be. But they're figuring that out, and I think having a run threat like with Barkley is allowing them to figure that out, right? I think this is the Giants are going to. I think what we're going to see from the Giants is that they're week by week. Dayball's going to have them, you know, putting the pieces together. By the end of the season, I think we're going to know is this team, you know, if they're really how good they really are. I feel optimistic about their chances this season to make a good playoff run here. Even though I think Dallas is going to be fine under Cooper Rush, this is probably not the game. And I like the Giants. And in the other game, I like the Bengals to cover there.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, the Giants, I think, I mean, the Jets here should lose, I think, by about 5.5 points. So I took the Bengals in the paper when the spread was 4.5. Now the spread's 5.5, so it's much closer to where I think the line should be. So at 5.5, I have a lot of pause about will I take the bet? Probably not. I would stay off that game at 5.5. But at 4.5, I like the Bengals to cover that. But laying 5.5 on the road to the Jets after what they did last week, I mean, look, I think if you ask, gun to my head, I'd say the Bengals probably still cover it. But it's just too close for me to get too excited about.
How do you deal with a game 1 o'clock on this on Sunday, of course, the 1 o'clock game? This is a weird – why is the Vegas – Tennessee game on Fox?
I'm not sure.
That's very strange. That's very strange that you'd have two AFC teams.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's
really... has that changed somehow? That maybe it's just a question of distribution of the way the schedule unfolded. But anyway, here's Tennessee and Vegas, both 0-2, and... the Titans are one of those home dogs that you were hinting at.
Yeah, I think the Titans, you know, are a worse team than Vegas, and you know they both in this particular game. And I think that they're both up against it. What's the spread right now on that game? I'm looking that up. It's
I've got 2.5. I've got Tennessee getting 2.5 from.
It looks like
Raiders.
2 where I'm looking. So it's, you can find 2 or 2.5 right now. You know, I think the more I think that Tennessee, you should take as many points as you can get because 2 feels too close for comfort. So 2, 2.5, I'd still take Tennessee. But I do think Vegas is probably the better team. I just got Vegas at a, you know, slight pick, you know, like 1.5 points maybe. So it's going to be a close game. A close game between two teams who are both desperate for a win. You know, I mean, if you can find the right number, and it looks like the number is all over the place, you should, you know, you could really flip a coin here.
I'm going to ask you about a game that has got a fascinating look to it. And there's certain divisions in this league where, you know, every week you look and it feels like the same two teams are playing. on a regular basis, that involves Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans. It just feels, every time I look, it feels like the same two teams are playing every week. But I'm referring to the Detroit-Minnesota game. And, I think you know that I'm as wild-eyed and as insane an Eagles fan as anybody who lives outside of the 215. And so, obviously, I'm biased, but, I mean, the Eagles undressed them thoroughly on Monday night. And they come limping home, and the Lions, a team we've talked about both weeks, you want to talk about somebody that just seems to be, you know, one or two plays or weeks away from just busting out and changing, you know, the entire dialogue about them as a franchise even. It feels like the Lions have been on that precipice here for a couple of years. And they're getting 6.5 points, which to me feels like a huge invitation. Maybe it's fool's gold.
I don't think 6.5 is fool's gold. I took Minnesota in the paper, but I took Minnesota 5.5, you know, laying 5.5. I think at 6.5, it's a different question because I think this game should be right around there, right? It should be. Look, there's a tendency when you see a game like the game you're talking about with Philly and Minnesota to think that Minnesota walks away from that game that they're a worse team than we thought. But it's actually that the Eagles are a better team than people thought. And that, you know, the Eagles, it's more about boosting the Eagles than it is about taking away from Minnesota. I think that Minnesota is still a stronger team than Detroit coming into this game. You know, having said that, Detroit is also a team that's impressed everybody. They're the second highest scoring team in the NFL right now. They're the highest scoring team in the NFC, and they had 35 points, at least 35 points in both of their first 2 weeks. This is an offense that's incredibly strong. You know, it's a defense that struggles, though. And, you know, Minnesota has the best wide receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. And, you know, I think that this is going to be another high-scoring game. It's going to be another close game, just like all of other Detroit's other games. But I think Minnesota sort of figures out how to eke a win in the end. So I laid 5.5, but I think that with Detroit, if you like Detroit and you can get 6.5, take it, because I think that's a decent number. And anything higher than 6.5, take it, for sure. But I laid 5.5 in the paper. I may take another look at it as we get closer to the game. If they give Detroit a full touchdown, I'm gonna play Detroit. So we'll see what happens there. But there's so much public money. You know, they got the Hard Knocks effect, too. And they're a little bit of the darlings right now.
Oh, that's right.
Because of
that's
Hard Knocks.
That's right.
So everybody loves
that's
Detroit.
Right.
So they're taking so much money that I think that they're like America's team a little bit this season. And so we may not see it get to 7. This might be the market resistance point, and we may see it come back the other way towards 6. But 6.5 feels very interesting to me. So if you're a Lions fan and you want to bet them, I think that 6.5, you can live with that. I think that sort of hits it square in the where the number should be. But 5.5, I laid it.
David Hill with us. David, I've got to get Rich Eng in here, but any other game that you absolutely don't want to fail to mention?
Well, there's nothing on the card that I absolutely love with. I was going to give you Carolina as another home dog, getting 3 points at home against the Saints. I don't know what to make of Winston, but he's playing with four fractures in his vertebrae. That doesn't seem like the kind of injury you should be playing professional football with. I'm worried about that a little bit. I think this might be Carolina's best chance to get a win if they got one. It may be right now at home against a really banged up Saints team with no Kamara and a significantly injured Jameis Winston. So that was my other home dog I wanted to give you.
I'm going to just bring it up because I'm sort of rooting, you know, those of us Eagle fans are rooting for Doug Peterson to do well in Jacksonville, and they feel like a team that if you keep your finger on their pulse, you're going to find opportunities. They're getting over a touchdown going into Los Angeles against the Bolts.
And I like that. I took this Chargers in the paper because the number was in a different place. But getting over a touchdown, just like in the Detroit situation I told you before, it starts to feel like at 7.5, it starts to feel like the edge is on Jacksonville taking over a touchdown. Under a touchdown, I didn't like it so much. And I wanted to lay the points. But, yeah, if you can get 7.5 and you like the Chargers, that feels like a good bet too.
Well, and looking at the over/under, which is 47, so you get the impression that they're expecting a 42-35 game.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, if you in a way, like in these higher scoring games, these bigger point spreads don't mean as much, right? In a game like that, where there's going to be so many points scored, a half a point is less valuable than it is in a low scoring game. So that's why I think they're willing to throw the hook on the touchdown there. The book is willing to take the risk with the hook because they expect it'll be a high-scoring game. So, in a little bit, there's a little bit of theater going on there, and we shouldn't sometimes fall for. But my number makes it about exactly a touchdown. So 7.5 feels like you're getting a very, very slight edge with Jacksonville, but it's slight enough that it really is another one where throw a dart. That's how good this market
David
is.
Hill. Outstanding. David Hill, everybody. And for those of you that are New York Times subscribers, you can find David's analysis each week. It drops on Wednesday night or Thursday?
Thursday mornings.
Morning, yeah. That's why I don't look for it till Thursday, so that makes sense.
Or in the print paper on Sunday.
Oh, not until Sunday, huh?
It's online on Thursdays. It's in the print paper on Sundays.
There you go. Well, and it's under the online too. It's under the NFL News section, and the coverage. And we'll talk about that next week. I'd love for you to laud some of the other coverage that's going on because it's really strong.
Yeah, sure.
David Hill, everybody, and you should be following. I mean, anybody who listens to this show follows Dave Hill. That isn't any surprise because you've been listening to him for I don't know. How did I even discover you? Where did we find you?
I don't know. I've been listening for many years, but I think I'm not sure when I first came on your show as a guest. I have to go back and search my email, but.
It was, and I know what it was because it was Oaklawn was getting ready to open, and I thought that you would have an interesting angle on it. I think I must have seen an article of yours that was being promoted within the industry, probably maybe even I don't know if it wouldn't have been ABR because I think it's pre ABR, but anyway it's we treasure the visits with you no matter what the topic.
Well, it's always true for me, too. I've been a fan of yours for many, many years, so it's very cool to get to come on your show and talk to you and be on the other side here. So it's a real treat.
Dave Hill, everybody. Dave Hill 77, if you're not following, I don't know why you wouldn't be. The Vapors, if you haven't read it, I can't believe there's any listener of ours that hasn't read it. But you can buy it for friends and for holiday. We're also waiting for the casting decisions. any news to drop? Any hints to drop on that front?
No, there's not. Not yet.
All right. you know where to let us know. You know exactly where you're gonna spread that news.
Of course. You'll be the first to know.
Thanks a lot. After your mother. After the call home.
Right.
Because who's gonna play your mom?
I don't think she'll be in this. She's not old enough.
No. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's true. Well, I'll tell you what. If there's a sequel, I tell you who I can envision: Fanny Flagg. Fanny Flagg at the right age. Right.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Sure.
That works. I love it, Dave Hill. Good luck this week, Dave.
Thanks. You guys too.
David Hill, folks. He's unbelievable. He's just So you can throw anything at him. You don't. He's like Louis Aparicio. He just like scoops him up and throws him out. The action, the ones that we talked about, and he's right, because the 9-7 overall, 9-7 makes sense. Instead of maybe just carving out the games that we ended up talking about. Look at his overall views. So 9-7, 2 weeks in a row, 3-1 and 2-3 so far of games that we brought up. However, here we talk Cleveland giving 4.5, Tennessee plus, Miami plus, Detroit plus, but there's room for a middle there. I mean, that was interesting about how we, it's funny that we kind of fleshed that out. Cincinnati giving to the Jets, the 5.5. Carolina at home, one of the home dogs against the nicked up Saints. Jacksonville plus the 7.5, and the Cardinal plus looking for 4.5. He got it at 4.5. It's down to 3.5. I think one thing we've learned here in these first 3 weeks is the line movement is really important. And the website for that, unabated.com, is who David is using for that information. And then Monday night, right? He gave the Monday night. Was that Sunday or Monday night? No, Monday night. The Giants giving the 1.5. And I had a feeling. See, there's a lesson from this week from David's insight. You can't get married. You can't get married to certain horses. You can't get married to certain teams. And last week, he loved Dallas. And this week he bypassed completely and went the other direction. So in other words, you don't marry yourself to an opinion. That's good information. We obviously went long with Dave, which I didn't expect. So we shortchanged Rich Eng. I apologize. We'll get Rich tomorrow. Ask Rich. And we do have to get, I've got to finish this. I started to write up a little quote for Rich's book. And so we'll get some weekend opinions, maybe some Pennsylvania Derby card opinions from Rich tomorrow. This was a frenetic kind of a morning, which happens on this show. David Hill just now, Tony Black, of course, and Paul McGee. That was terrific. Dale Day for the Friday night state card at Remington, followed by Sunday's card, the Oklahoma Derby. We'll talk to Dale again tomorrow. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Some good action here and there. Churchill, of course, and much more back in action. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Live from Philadelphia, I got to finish packing up and get down to the Illadelph. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing. always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.